And we can see the world because of trauma that we've had. We can see the world badly. We can just be skeptical and not full of much hope, and we can have those kind of attitudes. And we talked about the verse where Jesus says, if your eye is offending you and causing you to sin, you should pluck it out. And so we kind of teased that we were bringing buckets up front, you know. But the whole point of that was how you see the world dramatically affects you and the world around you. And Jesus is saying, if your eye is seeing the world in a bad light with a bad attitude all the time, it's going to mess you up. But if you can see the world through God's eyes and see situations with an eternal perspective, life's a lot better. So we talked about that. It was called I. And last week we talked about strategies and the Beatitudes. Jesus talked about all those Beatitudes, the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5. And we kind of boiled it down to the fact that Jesus is really telling us you're blessed no matter what. If you're grieving, if you're sad, if people are lying about you, if whatever's going on, and it's kind of counterintuitive, Jesus says, you're blessed when this stuff is happening. We're going, wait a minute, it doesn't feel like I'm blessed. He said, yeah, but the thing is, I'm bigger than that stuff. And in reality, you're blessed regardless of what's happening in your life. And if we can get that understood, we are blessed no matter who's saying what or who's doing what or what station of life we're in or what situation we're in. If we can just realize we're blessed, our attitude will improve a whole bunch. And it's a strategy to have a great attitude and a great life. Today we're going to talk about glowing and growing. When you think about radioactivity, I kind of think about it glowing, right? You know, the radioactive sign, I don't know if it's up there. Yeah, it kind of looks like it's glowing a little bit. It's on a cute little Christmas ornament, but I don't know. I wouldn't buy that ornament. How about you? Radioactivity is kind of like it's glowing, you know, the dilithium crystals and the Star Trek engines, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, we can just see how anybody, any Trekkies in the audience, come on, be proud. Yeah, thank you. But radioactivity can be really toxic and glowing. And I want to talk about kind of the warmth of glowing, and I want to talk about growing. I can see radioactivity, something that grows also. And today we're talking about a positive thing again. And some of you may not think it's a great topic, but we will get to a place where you're going, okay, maybe it's not that bad of a topic. This opening phrase is the attitude that you have about yourself not only impacts you, but it impacts the world around you. Today we're going to talk about loving yourself, being kind to yourself, thinking about yourself the way God thinks about you. And in some churches and in some religious circles, that's not spiritual. That we're supposed to be a worm, like that chorus says in that one bad song, you know. Maybe it's not a bad song, it's a bad verse in the song, you know. But God loves you, and he thinks you're pretty amazing. And we're going to talk about that today and how that relates to your attitude. And then next week, we're going to talk about kindness to others. Today, kindness to ourselves. Next week, kindness to others. So just hang on. This is spiritual. This is biblical. And I think you'll understand it in just a little bit. Why don't we start with the phrase John 3:16, that verse that we know so well. God so loved the world, and you are included in that, right? He loved everybody on the planet in all generations before us and after us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but could have everlasting life. So that verse, the main verse of the New Testament, tells us you are loved. It says you are worth dying for. Now, so we use that phrase. So how was that? Chocolate truffle, oh, it was to die for. We use that phrase sometimes. Where did that phrase come from? It comes from John 3:16. Because you are so amazing, you are worth dying for. You got to know that. You got to understand that. If you don't get that, you can't get a good attitude. You can't be a great Christian. You can't love others because you don't love yourself. We're going to talk about some of those verses here in just a minute. So it's a highly spiritual topic, and I think it's a topic we all need. We all need. Anybody ever feel an attack on your personhood? An attack on your value? An attack on your self-esteem? An attack on your confidence? I feel those regularly, and I'm sure you all do also. Verse 17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus did not come to condemn you. Jesus didn't come and say, you're worthless, you should be lucky I love you. He didn't say that. He said, you're so amazing that I'm leaving heaven and I'm coming to the planet to die for you. I didn't come to condemn you. I did not come to condemn the world. I did not come to condemn the people that aren't in church today. I didn't come to condemn the people that curse my name. I didn't come to condemn anybody. I came to save everybody. Everybody has this value, and you're included in a person who is highly valued, and you're worth dying for. We do have somebody that condemns us. We do have somebody that hates us. We do have somebody that degrades us. His name's Satan. He's our enemy. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. And if you're hearing voices and words, and if you have internal thoughts and attitudes about yourself that are condemning and belittling and degrading, I guarantee you that's coming from your enemy. It's not coming from your Creator. He thinks you're to die for. He does. He really does. So God loves you. He thinks you're pretty cool. He thinks you're worth dying for. Two huge teachings of Jesus in the New Testament refer to the proper attitude that we should have towards ourselves. You should know that you're lovable. Do you know today that you're lovable? Some of you don't. Some of you, you need to buy this CD and listen to it over and over and over till you're sick of my voice. Some of you are going, I'm already sick of your voice. But until you're really sick of my voice. Because some of you do not think you are lovable. You don't. And I want to change your mind. I want you to think about yourself the way God thinks about you. So two huge teachings of Jesus. Number one, the golden rule. What's the golden rule? He who has all the gold rules? No, that's Donald Trump's rule. That's not the golden rule. The golden rule is do unto others the things you would want them to do for you. That's the golden rule. And we've talked about this in church quite a bit. The golden rule is not don't do to others the things you don't want them to do to you. It's not a don't do rule. It's a do rule. It says you should get off your lazy boy and go do stuff for other people that you would want them to do for you. You should treat people the way you would want to be treated. You should speak words to people, the kind of words you would want to hear from people. You should do actions for people, the kind of actions you would like to receive from people. But you cannot even understand the golden rule if you don't love yourself, if you don't think you're valuable, if you don't think that you deserve people to do good things to you, you will naturally not do many good things for others. Can you feel me? You know what I'm talking about? Just the golden rule. Do unto others the things you want them to do. I don't want anybody to do anything good for me because I think I'm a lazy bum, good for nothing. God, nobody could love me, so why would I want to do anything good for somebody else? I am doing for them the things I want people to do to me because I don't love me, so I'm hurting them. I'm being mean to them. I'm ignoring them because I think that's what I'm worth. But if you can get a hold of this fact that you are to die for, that God loves you, that you deserve people to do great things for you, then you will get out of your lazy boy and go do great things for other people. But if you don't love yourself, you end up having no capacity to love others. And if you have a bad attitude for yourself, you're going to have a really bad attitude towards others. You just can't give something you don't have. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And if in your heart is this degraded, belittled, valueless attitude, then you'll see the whole world that way. You really will. So that's Luke 6:31. Number two is the two great commandments. They said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. That is a challenging commandment. Anybody else? I love him with some of my stuff sometimes, but all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my strength? All? That's challenging. I don't know if that challenges you or not, but it challenges me. And then he said, the second greatest commandment is like the first one. You should love your neighbor. Finish it. Like you love yourself. Are you starting to get the picture this morning? If you don't love yourself, you cannot love your neighbor. Because you are supposed to love people the way you love yourself. But if you don't get the concept that you are amazing, created in the image and likeness of God, worth dying for, if you don't get that concept, you'll walk around with a radioactive attitude that will be toxic for yourself and for everybody around you. And I know there's a balance to this. And when I'm preaching, there's always people that are going, yeah, but. Don't yeah, but me. Just listen. We can talk about humility another day, okay? We'll talk about humility another day. Today we're talking about your radioactive attitude. And we're talking about you should be glowing because God loves you and God says you're amazing and you're made in His image and likeness. And you're special. And you're cool. You're worth dying for. You need to get a hold of that. You need to get a hold of that today. So you have to love yourself and believe that you deserve to be treated well before you can ever love others and believe they also deserve to be treated well. If you don't love yourself, and if you don't think you're valuable enough to be treated well, you will wreak havoc in your world. Anybody say amen to that? Now, you don't have to admit it personally, but have you ever met somebody that had a really low opinion of themselves, and therefore they treated the whole world that way? Have you ever met somebody who was abused and damaged because of the way they grew up and they were treated? And so they ended up treating the whole world badly. There's that phrase out there that says, hurt people hurt people. Is that true or what? People that have been hurt out of the abundance of their heart, they speak and act and they hurt others. So what's the answer to that? Let's get healed. Let's come to a Savior named Jesus Christ. Let's let Him reprogram our thoughts about ourselves, about others, and about this world around us. Let's get rid of our toxic attitudes that begin with ourselves so many times. They begin with us. They begin with us. So let's talk about the glowing part. You should have a glow about you. Have you ever met people that just glowed? I mean, they just glowed. It wasn't their makeup. It was internal. They just had some peace, and they had some joy, and they had grace, and they had mercy, and they just glowed. I would love us to be those people. Now, y'all aren't all that way, in case you didn't know. In case you didn't look in the mirror this morning, y'all aren't glowing. Some of y'all are glowing, but some of the rest of us, we need to turn the nightlight on or something. I don't know. You should love yourself and be good to yourself. You should love yourself and be good to yourself. Again, I'll talk about humility some other day. You should have a great attitude about yourself. You should have great thoughts about yourself. You should have great behavior towards yourself, great emotions towards yourself. It's sad how some people think about themselves. I had a friend, loved this friend, went the extra mile for him over and over and over, loved him. He struggled with alcohol addiction, and I was with him for decades with that. And this day I'm with him and he's in a bad way. And he gets out of my pickup and he spills his beer on my floorboard. Some of you are going, why did you let him have a beer in your pickup? Well, that's a different story. I'm not telling that story today. And it's a real bummer when you're a pastor and your pickup smells like beer. It is a bummer. Especially if you get a speeding ticket on the way home, you know. Which I didn't, so thank the Lord. But when he spilled his beer, he started beating himself in the forehead. And he says, he used a racial word that I don't use and won't use. But he beat himself in the forehead and he said, I'm just a dumb. And he said it over and over again. And I'm going, wow. The thoughts that we have about ourselves are so toxic. It's like, dude, you spilt your beer in my pickup. It's okay. It's okay. Some of you relate to that story. Some of you relate to something going wrong and something going bad, and the words that come out of your mouth about yourself are really ugly. They're really horrendous. God wants you to know those aren't His words. Those are Satan's words. And He wants you to change how you think about yourself. He wants you to change that. You have God's stuff inside you. You're made in the image and likeness of God. Do you know that? I mean, do you know that? Have you ever read Genesis, the first three chapters? Do you know that you are made in the image and likeness of God? God created the animals and all of that, but when it came to you and I, God caressed us out of the dirt and the clay, and He formed us, and then He kissed us and breathed life into us, and we became a living soul. Do you know that when you were created, it was the kiss of God that breathed life into you? And He still would love to embrace you. Some of us think about, you know, a whiskery Jesus kissing us. I know, that's a bummer. I know if you're a guy, that's a bummer. Forget I even said that. No, but do you understand the amazing love of God who breathed life into you? He touched you. He loves you. Wow. I don't think we understand that really well some days. I don't think we understand that very well. God wants to spend the rest of His life with you. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you might be also. He says, I want you to be with me forever. That's cool, isn't it? That's what He thinks about you. He calls you His bride, His friend, His love. He said, eye is not seen and ears not heard, and it's never entered into the heart of the man or the woman or anybody. It's never entered into our heart the things that God has prepared for us. Don't you love surprising somebody with something amazing? God is up there preparing. He's got plans for thousands and tens of thousands and decades, just eons of time, he's got plans for you and I. And he's going to surprise us and surprise us and surprise us with his amazing love and his care and his provision. He's preparing that for us. God bottles up your tears. What does that say about him? He bottles your tears. Some of you have some big bottles. Some big bottles. God says, I have seen every tear you've cried. I have felt it with you. I care that much about you. I've bottled your tears. Wow. I mean, it's cool that he has the hairs of our head numbered, but he bottles your tears. Karen has big bottles, right? We know, right? She's not here. God's probably breaking out in a few cases today, isn't he? You know, because she's there at the funeral of her nieces this weekend. God loves you so much, he bottles your tears. He weeps over your pain. Remember when Jesus stood over Jerusalem and he was weeping? You don't see Jesus crying a lot, a couple times. He's weeping. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I wanted to gather you and protect you and shelter you. But you wouldn't listen to me. I wanted to keep you from this pain. And he's weeping because of the pain they were going to have to endure. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus says, this is why I came to earth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The good news. Jesus said, I came, start spreading the news. He came to start spreading the good news. I mean, we're going to be celebrating Christmas pretty quick, and the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Jesus said, I came to preach the good news. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. God cares about your broken heart. He cares about your pain. And Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. He values you that much. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Wow. Are you held captive anywhere in life? He wants to set you free. Deliverance to everyone who's held captive. He cares about you. He loves you so much. Recovery of sight to the blind. Some people just can't see, aren't seeing. Their vision has been wounded. Their vision has been hindered. And I'm talking about how they see the world, how they see themselves, how they see other people. Their vision has been wounded and damaged. And God said, I came to heal the blind. Man, I've been blind multiple times. And God said, Kelly, I want you to see it this way. Wow, that changes my whole perspective when I see it that way. He came to set at liberty those that are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the favor of our Lord. God wants you to know you're favored. You're favored. So you should be glowing internally because you're to die for. You're made in the image and likeness of God. He loves you. All the damage that has been done to you, he wants to heal you and restore you right now. Not someday, right now. Right now. Let's talk about growing. You're somebody doing something, going somewhere. You are. I mean, we get the first part down, and then now we're worth investing in. Now we're going somewhere. Now we're somebody doing something, going somewhere. So we need to be advancing. We need to be growing. We need to be moving forward personally. We need to be doing that because we are created with purpose, and none of us are an accident, and none of us are unloved or uncared for or rejected or denied. None of us are that. So we all are full of destiny and purpose, and God wants to be glorified in us and use us mightily in our generation, so we ought to start growing or continue growing. We ought to be doing that. So you should be running towards your destiny. Running towards your destiny. I know when things happen, we stop. When we get injured, we limp. I know, but God wants to heal you to a point where you can run to your destiny. How many of you would like to run again? I mean, you would like to run. I don't mean physically. But that wouldn't be bad either. Used to be when I run, my belly was so big, it'd give me two black eyes. Maybe not. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. Let's see, where was I? Oh, we ought to be, well, how many of you would like to run again in your life, in your relationships, in where you're going, your destiny, your purpose? You don't need to be stranded or stuck or injured. You don't need to be that. You should be peeking around the next corner with anticipation. One bummer thing about me is walking out in the woods and in the wilderness. It's like, I always want to see what's around the next corner. Sometimes Kari's out with me and she's going, let's stop. And I'm going, no, I just want to see what's over that next ridge. We're almost to the top. We're almost up there. She goes, I'm done. I go, okay, I'm going to go on. Hopefully the wolves and bears won't eat you. And I'll be back. Because I always want to peek around the corner and see what's next. If you don't think you have a destiny, if you don't think you're valuable, if you don't think you have a future, you don't do any peeking around corners. You look over your shoulder some, but you don't peek around corners, right? You should be having a lot of anticipation, gaining in wisdom and favor, getting out of your pity parties. Anybody have a pity party? Pity party, poor me, pitiful me, life so bad, bah humbug, oh bother. I'm going to go eat worms. You ever have pity parties? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Get out of your pity parties. I know it's hard when you're hurt, but that's why we want you to be healed. I know it's hard when you're weak, but that's why we want you to be strengthened. So you can get out of that. Get off of your couch, soak up the best fuel for life, and rocket towards your future. Amen. There's fuel for life. You need to be filling up and getting that stuff and rocketing into your future. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God says, I have things for you, and if you will study, and if you will apply yourself, and if you will grow, then you become approved and qualified for those things I've prepared for you. And you don't have to be ashamed that you never got there. You don't have to be ashamed that you didn't accomplish anything. You don't have to be ashamed that you're whatever, whatever. You can be filled with the fullness of God and keep growing. So study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Satan wants to heap shame on you. He just wants to heap shame on you. I was driving my car the other day, and people have been waving at me with one finger quite a bit for the last year or so. I don't know what their problem is, but giving me the Florida wave or something, I don't know. No? And I was at an intersection, and I was waiting to turn left, and I had to yield to oncoming traffic, and there was this car coming really slowly. And I know I've been here for a while. I'm in the middle of the intersection waiting to make the left. This car's going really slowly, and I'm going, it's going to turn yellow pretty quick. And then the car turns on its blinker, and it's going the same direction I'm going. So it's coming this way, and I'm going that way. And I scoot ahead a little bit because I know the light's turning yellow. And I see the driver is this little old lady. And she gets her finger out, but she uses this finger because old people like this finger better than the one the young people like. And she goes, as she turned her corner, like, I have the right of way, you young whippersnapper, you know. And it was almost like the shame on you for trying to sneak in there. You stay in your lane. And I just thought of the shame on you, you know, the finger, the shame on you finger. And the enemy loves to heap shame on us. God wants you to feel full of grace and mercy, not shame. Jesus came to take your shame away. He does a really good job of that. I got to hurry up. 2 Peter chapter 5. Or chapter 1. I'm sorry, there probably isn't a chapter 5 in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I'm still in 1 Peter. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. So God is saying, hey, you need to add some things to your life. You need to be growing. You need to be moving forward. You need to be getting stronger. He says, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if these things are in you and abound, so it's grow. Add this stuff. He starts out with give all diligence. Make it a priority to grow yourself. Coming to church is a great thing to do, but you're not going to grow a lot once on Sunday morning. You should hook up with a life group that we have. You should come to the Higher Living on Wednesday nights. You should be reading your Bible and reading the book of the month. Huh, Connie? We should be reading the book of the month and coming to that discussion. You can just give diligence to grow yourself. And I know if you don't think you're valuable and if you don't think you have a future, why bother growing? Why bother adding anything to this mess you already have, right? I get that. But if we can understand we're worth dying for, we're loved, God heals us and restores us, and now we're going to run into our destiny and run into our future, then we know we got to get stronger and add some knowledge and add some perseverance and add the rest of the things that are in that list so that we can grow. Don't be satisfied with a short sprint. I didn't read the last couple verses, but the last verse that I had there, verse 11, just says, you need to be doing this until you get to heaven. It's a continual growing until you get to heaven. Sometimes we think, man, I'm glad I'm out of school. I don't have to learn anything else. Well, you should keep learning. I finished my bachelor's degree. I don't have to learn anything else. Finished my master's, finished my doctorate, whatever. I don't have to learn anything else. I finally can do this job, and I know how to feed the planer. I know how to play with crayons and mark boards and tell them what grade it is. You know, I know how to whatever. But you should continue growing. Continue growing. Don't be satisfied with a short sprint. You're in a marathon race. Do you know that? You're in a marathon race. If you fall down, get up, brush yourself off, and get going again. It's okay. We're in a marathon race. Some people, Satan convinces you fell down, so you lost the race. No, no, no. This is 26 miles. You're fine. You're fine. Get up and keep moving forward. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. It's all right if you fall. Get back up. Don't stop. Oh, I lost the race. Yeah, if you're in a 40-yard race and you fall down, it's over. It's over, right? But if you're in the marathon, you're fine. You're fine. Don't stop short. Keep growing. What do you need to add to your life today? I would just like you to think about that question. What do you need to add to your life today? Knowledge, diligence, perseverance, love, brotherly kindness. What do you need to add to your life? What in that big old list? And that's just an abbreviated list. There's lots more stuff on God's list of things you should be adding to your life. Lots more stuff. So what is that for you? I would like you to think about that right now. What do you need to add to your life today? Today. And ask God for that. And apply yourself towards that. If you're not kind to yourself, you'll never be kind to others. We want you glowing and growing around here. That's what we want you. We want you having a great attitudes about yourself, great attitudes about people around you, great attitude about the world, great attitudes, great attitudes. Amen? Amen. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving. You got to go spend time with your family. We want you to have a good attitude. When they take the last cranberry sauce and you wanted it, you got to have a good attitude. When there's no more pumpkin pie left, you got to have a good attitude. When that cousin, brother, parent, whatever, brings up something that makes you mad again, you got to have a good attitude. You got to have a great attitude. Amen? Amen. In your folder, there's a connect card, and we would love you to grab that. And we're getting ready to receive our offering today. And we'd love you to put this in there. So fill it out on the front. Give us your information. We want it because we love you. We want to connect with you. People say, oh, churches are so impersonal. No, we're not. We want to know you. So let us help us know you. Fill this out. Put it in the offering. We want everybody to do it every week because there's stuff on the back that is also important. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior today? Let us know. Mark that box. Come up here and be prayed for in a little bit too. If you're interested in baptism or the My Church class, mark that box. Sink or swim books, parking lot barriers. We got a whole bunch of projects going on. Regarding the message, here's two things you can respond to. I'm going to get my value from God who says, from who God says I am, not from others, not from my past failures. I will have a good attitude about myself. I'm going to get my attitude from what God says I am. Not from my failures, not from what others say that I am. The second one, I have not reached my destination or destiny yet. If you're still breathing oxygen, you have not fulfilled your destiny yet. So you could check this box. I will keep growing and learning. I can learn new things. I can do new things. I am worth investing in. So we'd love you to check those, fill that out for us. If you're brand new today, your first time, we have a special gift for you. And I'll talk more about that while we're receiving the offering. But let's pray over the offering. Father, thank you today for these people. They are your creation. They are your sons and daughters. You love them enough to die for. That's so amazing. And God, help each one of us know we are valuable and have a good attitude about ourselves. Heal us from our wounds. Heal us from the scars, God. Restore us, we pray in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray a great blessing on people today as they give. God, thank you for being generous to us. We will be generous to you, Lord. And we give in this offering freely. And thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.